The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live, just like you can every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook, and we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Willie Donick joins us from lovely St. Louis. How we doing, Willie?
I am doing well, guys. It's great to be in the hometown of Caroline Fenton. So,
did you see my statue?
It looks good. It's still here. Everything. Yep. Your statue is right on the river here. I'm looking right next to the arch.
Good. God, good to hear that. I am. That is being upkept very well. Joining us now from Sportsnet is Elliot Friedman. Elliot, I want to talk about Eli Tolvanen. Because when he was in Nashville, he struggled offensively. Yeah. Now he's in Seattle, 7 points in less than a month. He's looking really good in Seattle. What does that say about him in Nashville and how the Nashville system fit him?
Well, I know a lot of your Predators fans are not happy about it. Believe me, a few of them have been in my DMs about it, like not pleased. And I understand that David Poile gave a very blunt answer on your radio station last week about it. First of all, I absolutely think that it reached a point where Tolvanen needed a fresh start. Like, he needed to go somewhere else. I think for whatever reason, it just wasn't going to work with the Predators, that they didn't believe in him anymore, that there was more there, and I don't think he believed that there was going to be more there for him in Nashville. I think that's pretty clear. I'm happy for him that he's on a tear to start. I think the key thing is this a spurt, or is this where we're really going? And the thing about the Kraken that's a good sign for them is that they have found some players this year, and they've put them in situations where they can be successful. They've got a young guy named Daniel Sprong. He only plays about 11 minutes a game, but he's scoring extremely well for them. And so far, the same kind of thing is happening with Tolvanen. And I just think right now it's early. We'll see where this goes. But I definitely agree that if he continues like this, I think there's going to be a lot of soul searching in Nashville about how did this happen.
Elliot, you hit on something that I find interesting, too. It just seems like everything Seattle is doing right now is lining up perfect. Sprong is a guy, too, for maybe some of our listeners in Nashville. He was a high pick that has bounced around in different teams, and he's found a great home. So what is in the water out in Seattle? I guess pun intended there. They like to talk about the deep water and things like that with the Kraken, but, man, it has come together for them in such a great way.
Well, last year was a real nightmare season for them. Even though they were an expansion team, I think they were incredibly disappointed with how the year turned out. And I think to their credit, they addressed some of the issues. They were kind of slow, and they got faster players. I think that's one thing. Like, I know the teams that played against them in the exhibition season felt they were noticeably faster. They went out and they spent money on a couple of scores. They really couldn't score last year. They got Burakovsky, who won a Stanley Cup in both Washington and Colorado, and they went out and they spent for him. And they made a really good trade for a guy you guys know a bit from Columbus, Bjorkstrand. They went over the cap, or they had cap situations when they signed Johnny Gaudreau, and they basically had to dump him for draft picks, and Seattle made the move. So I think the two things they did was they addressed the two of their major weaknesses. One, they weren't very quick, and two, they couldn't score. They brought in scores, and they brought in faster players. And I think the other thing about that is, like, guys like sometimes some players aren't made to play 20 minutes a night. Like Sprong, like I said, he's only playing 11 minutes a night, and he's scoring up a storm for him. Well, maybe he's an 11-minute player. There's no shame in that. You have to find roles for people where they're going to be able to be put in position to be successful. And I think that's one thing that Seattle has done very well this year, is put players in roles where they're going to have where they're going to be in position to be successful.
This is going to be an interesting one tonight here in St. Louis. You've got the Blues, who have some banged up guys. And I know there's been a lot of chatter recently, Elliot, about Ryan O'Reilly, because his injury is going to keep him out until fairly close to the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. So what are you hearing there?
Well, I think it's more likely than not he's going to get traded. I think that the Blues don't want to do long-term at his age. I don't think O'Reilly's that interested in doing short-term. I think people know Ryan O'Reilly's resume. They know who he is. And I'll bet you something, Willie, I'll bet there'll be people who don't even care that he's been hurt. As long as he comes back healthy, they'll say, look, he got a rest, and he'll be ready for the stretch drive in the playoffs. So I don't think this is going to scare anyone off as long as he returns healthy. And I do think it's more likely than not he's going to be traded, and the same is going to go for Tarasenko. I think it's much more likely than not that Tarasenko is going to be traded too.
So I that's what I'm curious about. You've got two teams tonight that are sort of on that bubble. They both desperately need to win this game to sort of move up the ladder. And so, you know, it's interesting. I read a lot of stuff about St. Louis. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, trade some of these guys. When they're right, they still look like they could be a very, very good team. But in the context of that, it seems like this is a team that Nashville has to finish ahead of. I can't see a scenario where both of these teams make the playoffs. It seems like.
Well, I think for one thing, there's still time for everybody to make their decisions here. The trade deadline is still 6 weeks away, so it's not like everybody has to make a decision tomorrow. I think the way the teams get to where the teams are in between now and then, and where they go between now and then, will determine a lot of decisions, which is fine with me. I think the thing, when I see the Predators, the one thing about them is, they've gotten close a couple of times, but they've never actually gotten into a playoff position. Like, I think that's what you have to do. It's, you know, last week they got that huge win over Ottawa, and then they lost, you know, three games in regulation and didn't get a point. And, you know, you can't, you know, Toronto, Montreal, and then the Saturday game in against Buffalo, you can't do that. You cannot do that. When you have a win against Ottawa like that, you have to build on it and you have to get close. And then they get a huge win over Calgary, a game they absolutely had to have on Monday. Like, for me, what the Predators have to do is they can't just keep being close. They have to get in. Like, they have to say, we're not just going to get within 2 or 3 points and then we're going to start losing again. You have to be right there. You have to at least crawl into a wild card spot for a couple of days, because I think there's a big difference between showing that you're a team that can simply get close and being a team that actually is in and shows they can get in. And that's what I'm waiting for the Predators to do, actually be in a playoff spot for a few days.
No question about that. Elliot, there was a big story earlier this week out of Vancouver, where it looks like there could be a shakeup coming, a team that's sort of come to grips with they probably aren't ready to make a run towards the playoffs there. What can you look for teams that are looking to add? I know in the big picture, it's going to be tough to move a lot of these contracts. It seems like every GM's coming to the same conclusion. Even if you want to break it down and do some retooling, you don't find a whole lot of partners out there.
Well, I think one of the things is it's very hard to do it right now. Like, this is a league that doesn't have a lot of cap room in it. You know, more than half of the teams are in long-term injury or right at the cap, so there's not a lot of freedom to make moves. But look, I think Rick Tocchet's going to be their coach. I thought it was going to be Monday. It might end up being sooner, but Rick Tocchet is going to leave the TNT studio to be their coach. And look, I think they're going to have players out there. I know there's been some rumblings about Bo Horvat and the Predators. I do think the two sides have talked. I don't think they're anywhere close to a deal. I think the Predators, I think the Canucks want not just guys who are two or three years away. I think they want young players who can play now. I don't think teams are going to be too interested in doing that unless they can talk to Horvat about an extension. And the other thing, too, is, I mean, you've got some young guys who are breathing new life into your lineup. I'm not sure how much Nashville is going to want to fool around with that. So I'm not convinced. I mean, it might end up being the case closer to it, but I'm not convinced Nashville is going to be the landing spot for Horvat yet. But look, I think the Canucks, they're open for business. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows that if you have everyone but Pettersson, you can talk to them about. And you have to make them an offer that they like. The problem is, and it's the line I use a lot, this league is constipated right now. There's too many teams that don't have any cap room.
All right, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys, have a good week.
All right, thanks. Have a good one. And Elliot Friedman joining us on Thursday at 1 o'clock, as he does every week. The Predators are in action tonight in St. Louis. Predators in St. Louis in a very similar situation, both on the outside looking into the playoffs, hoping to creep in, like Elliot Friedman mentioned, into at least a wild card spot. How can they keep things moving? We'll get into that coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I think the thing, when I see the Predators, the one thing about them is they've gotten close a couple of times, but they've never actually gotten into a playoff position. Like, I think that's what you have to do. It's, you know, last week they got that huge win over Ottawa, and then they lost, you know, three games in regulation and didn't get a point. And, you know, you can't, you know, Toronto, Montreal, and then the Saturday game in against Buffalo, you can't do that. You cannot do that. When you have a win against Ottawa like that, you have to build on it and you have to get close. And then they get a huge win over Calgary, a game they absolutely had to have on Monday. Like, for me, what the Predators have to do is they can't just keep being close. They have to get in. Like, they have to say, we're not just going to get within two or three points and then we're going to start losing again. You have to be right there. You have to at least crawl into a wild card spot for a couple of days, because I think there's a big difference between showing that you're a team that can simply get close and being a team that actually is in and shows they can get in. And that's what I'm waiting for the Predators to do, actually be in a playoff spot for a few days.
There you go. That was Elliot Friedman on the Predators. And I think that kind of hits on my frustration, maybe some Predators fans' frustrations about the team, is they can get so close. Like, the Predators right now won the last two games in a row. Really key game against Calgary that they got a win, and they got a win when they needed it. So it's like this team gets so close. It's like three steps forward, three steps back. They kind of dig themselves in a hole after digging themselves out of one. That's kind of the trend of this team that it's been so far this season. But a big game against St. Louis. And at this point, Every game's big. At this point, every point matters. Every game matters. So two games in a row, a two-game win streak for the Predators. How do they extend it to three in a game that's really important against a St. Louis team that's in a similar position with the Predators? On the outside, looking into the playoffs, the Predators are in the fifth spot in the Central Division. The Blues are 1 point behind them in sixth place. And I think the Blues want to, you know, have the same motivation that the Predators have if they want to get into the dance.
Yeah, and the Blues right now are trying to go through a patch where they're missing some key veteran players. They're missing Ryan O'Reilly. They're missing Vladimir Tarasenko. Both of those guys, as we talked to Elliot about, are free agents at the end of the year, guys who have been staples in this town for a long, long time. And, you know, if it goes a certain way, then I think the Blues absolutely would consider trading both of those guys. If they trend back the other way, then they might hang on to him. So I think the Predators are in that similar situation. And I think every single team would tell you the same thing. You don't want to finish ninth. You know, that's the worst place you can finish because you just missed the playoffs. You don't have a bad team, but you probably didn't. You know, if you go for it and you miss, then you probably missed an opportunity to maybe build some future assets at the trade deadline. So that's why these games are essential here. You've got four more before the break, and then everybody sort of relaxes for the better part of 2 weeks. So they have been in a really, really busy stretch since Christmas. You guys know I've been all over the place, right? I've been to Anaheim. I've been to Vegas. I've been all through Canada. I've been to D.C. I've been to Carolina. Now here in St. Louis, it is nonstop. So you got to push to the break, in my opinion. These next four games are very, very important. I feel like they're trending in the right direction, but I do think, as Elliot said, you know, there's got to be another level that they've got to find. They've got to keep climbing until they hit another level, which would avoid, like, they just can't afford, you know, a downturn where they go winless for six games, which has happened a couple of times already this season. You only get so many of those before it's probably not going to be enough. Right now, guys, they have 48 points. They have 38 games remaining. So in the last 38 games, you probably need in the neighborhood of about 48 more points, right, to get to around 96, which most years would get you in there. I do think there's going to be some competition. So, you know, that's what you're trending towards. You can't get them all tonight. You know, the world doesn't end if you lose tonight. But every game is so important because you've lost, you know, that slack in the rope. You don't have much margin for error in the second half of the season.
Willie, this is something that I talked about with Hal earlier in the show. It was that this Predators trend that you highlight, you know, they'll go winless for six games and they win a couple more to keep things at least a little bit interesting. But I fear that trend is kind of due to goaltending, that I fear that this team can't win very many games if it's whether it's UC Saros or Kevin Lankin and whoever is in net isn't playing red hot. This team really struggles to win games. It ebbs and flows as the goaltending ebbs and flows. And right now, UC Saros is playing lights out. But what if the Predators don't get that? Can they win the games they need to win? Can they get the points they need to get?
I think those goalies are going to give you a chance to win most nights. I think UC Saros had a patch where he struggled earlier in the season. There was the other win streak. Remember, they went 0-4-2. Playing incredibly well, but they couldn't score. Remember, I think they scored nine goals in the six games, and they kept, you know, they had a game here last time we were in St. Louis where the game was 0-0 at the end of 60 minutes. UC Saros couldn't play any better, and they got an overtime goal to beat them. So I do think that's the focus. It's not going to be because they don't have good goaltending. They have maybe the best goalie tandem in the league, which is a great way to win games. But I do think the overall game in front of those guys, they've got to give them a little bit more support. They've won a lot of games 2-1. It's not easy to win when you only score two goals per night, right? But they've won a bunch, and so that's a tip of the cap to Saros and Lankin and how well they've played. So you're right. If all your eggs are just in the goalies, you're probably going to come up short. You need a little bit more in front of them, no doubt about it.
And how do they get that? You know, and it's so easy because I was talking about this with Hal as well, because we hear the word consistency all the time with this team, and I think it's fair. You can see it, you know, if you just look at the schedule as a whole, win a few, lose a few, win a few, lose a few. The consistency isn't quite there in terms of, you know, with the outcome on the scoreboard, but the consistency in front of UC Soros isn't there either. And it's the golden question that I, you know, if I could answer that question, I'd probably be a hockey coach. But how do you get that? How do you get that consistency? How can you do more in front of UC Soros?
Since they had that 0-4-2, right? They've gone 9-4-2. They did have the 3-game losing streak, and I think really the only ones that hurt for me, and Elliot was talking about it, but when they lost the 2 straight games to Montreal and Buffalo, they needed one of those two, right? So that's the little bogey, if you will. If you're on the golf course, that was the bogey, right? Not getting one of those two, losing at Toronto by one goal, as we talked about the day after, right? They played a pretty good game in that one. But they bounced back. I didn't think it was a huge win against Calgary on Monday. I didn't think it was their best at all against Columbus. They had a very good start, and they were not able to put away Columbus early. And then they sort of let the foot off the gas, and Kevin Lankinen had to sort of come to the rescue for them. They know they're going to have to be better tonight. So to answer your question, Caroline, how do they do it? Well, I think it's the same things we talk about. I think what's coming around a little bit, they're starting to get more points from the blue line. Other guys besides Roman Josi are chipping in. So that's a little part of, you know, that's a little element that they weren't getting earlier in the season. The young centers, Cody Glass, Juuso Parsonen, and Tommy Novak, I think with each passing week, those guys look like they continue to solidify. And so those guys are for real. The power play has dipped a little bit after that came to life. So the power play obviously is a huge part of this equation. And then I think the last part is, as we talk about all the time, show me at the end of the year what Matt Duchene's numbers are, what Philip Forsberg's numbers are, what Ryan Johansson's numbers are, the guys who are invested, as Derek talks about. Like, it's not about the money, but when you get paid that kind of money, it's like how much is given, a lot is expected. Right, those are the guys that have to end up. They don't have to have a career year like maybe a lot of them did last year, but they've got to make strong contributions. So really I should have led with that. I ended with that, but show me Duchene, show me Forsberg, show me Johansson. If those guys don't give you much, it's probably not going to be enough. It's too much to ask these young centers who've done a great job giving the team some life. And also Mikhail Granlund in there, too. He's a very important guy. They need production from him. So veteran guys who are at the top of the salary cap, you need production from those guys.
So what would be our evaluation of this team, regardless of the outcome tonight? I want to get into that coming up next. I'll give my thoughts. I want Willie's thoughts, Derek's thoughts, and your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. The Predators in action tonight on the road at St. Louis, taking on the Blues. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. And look, I know one game doesn't define you as a team, doesn't define your season. But look back at, like, the Titans, so to speak. I think each game, and I understand shorter season, each game means more, but each game we could take away a little bit more that we learned about this team. The Titans get blown out by the Buffalo Bills. We say, okay, that's the difference between the Bills and the Titans. The Titans play really close with Joe Burrow and the Bills. And then we learned, okay, maybe the talent differential isn't that big between the Titans and what is viewed as one of the top teams in the AFC. Predators in it with a key game in terms of the standings tonight, taking on the Blues. And I kind of want to establish it here. And I'll give how I feel about this game. Because, you know, if the Predators win tonight, good. You know, you did what you needed to do. You went on the road against a solid team, and you got a win. You're on a 3-game winning streak. Things may look up. But I'll also look at it as the Blues are without 2 of their top players in Vladimir Tarasenko and their captain, Ryan O'Reilly. If the Predators lose tonight, I'll look at it like, you know, this is a team that continues to ebb and flow. You get a really key game against Calgary. You go on the road against St. Louis, a team that is losing 2 of its best players, and you aren't able to beat a St. Louis team that is vying for a similar playoff spot, similar to you are. So that's kind of how I'll feel about it. You win, good. You did your job. You beat a team that's without two of its leaders, and we can continue the momentum going into the weekend as the Preds take on the Kings on Saturday night. You lose this game, maybe that's what you are. You know, a team that's losing that has lost two of its best players, you know, Vladimir Tarasenko, Ryan O'Reilly, both on IR. The Blues have been dealing with injuries as of late. And, you know, you continue to ebb and flow and you continue on this trend.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this, and this is a question I want to ask you, Willie, because you look at what they've been able to do and what they haven't been able to do. Right now, I think they sit 3 or 4 points out of that last out of that wild card spot, along with Edmonton and Calgary in Colorado, with 5 games, I believe, remaining before the All-Star break. Willie, what is it that they need for? What is it that they need to accomplish, you know, before the All-Star break that will put them in a position, and then subsequently right after the All-Star break?
Yeah, I think you have to look at these 4 games. As very important, because who do you play? As Caroline said, you've got St. Louis. That's a team that's right there with you in the standings. They're in that pack. Then you've got LA, another team on Saturday that, you know, if you could catch them in the standings, that's huge. So that's another team you're competing for those spots. And then you have Winnipeg, who is having a very, very good year. And that's the team that I think has been probably the biggest surprise in the West, where everything kind of went wrong last year for them. It's not a whole lot of different players, but everything's going right for them to this point. So it's another good measuring stick. They were right in the game at Winnipeg, easily could have won that game, ended up losing in overtime. That's when they were missing the 3 defensemen. So I think in these 4 games, somewhere in here, you know, a 3-0-1, a 2-1-1. You got to have some points here, right? I think it will be a bitter taste if you go into a long break at the end of January on a low note. So I think these 4 games in a package are really important, because, like we said, they don't have a cushion. There's no cushion. They have to continue to push from here. And I will bet you guys there's going to be a couple teams that around this time of the year look dead in the water and they catch fire. Dallas last year looked dead. They caught fire. Edmonton last year around this time of the year looked dead. They caught fire. And there will be some other teams on the other side that had played really well for the first half and then have issues for whatever reason. They come back to earth a little bit. A couple of guys get hurt at the wrong time and they can't overcome it. It truly is a marathon. So, Caroline, I get it. You circle this game, you're like, man, this is a huge game. And I completely agree with that. You can't panic if you don't get it. But, like, there's going to be a lot of big games. Like, every game is big. And at the end of the day, you got to win. Like I said, they need to come up with, they have 48 points right now that they need by the end of the year to get into that 96-97 range if they want to be in the playoffs. So that's the goal. It's consistent. Put your best effort out there every night. Get good play, starting with your top guys. That was something that John Hines said after the game against Columbus in our broadcast. He wasn't happy, you know, with how they played. They won the game, but he said, we need more from our, and he said, our leadership group. And who is he talking about? He's talking about Josi, Duchesne, Johansson. He's talking about the veteran guys. They're the ones that ultimately have to carry the team.
And I'm with you. I mean, it's not, and not everything. I'm not putting all of my eggs into the St. Louis Blues basket tonight. But I'd say, you know, each game at this point, especially considering it's such a key point in the season, you know, each game you can kind of learn a little bit more. And you are gaining a little bit more about what this team can do in the postseason. But your point about Edmonton, didn't Edmonton fire their coach in the middle of the season last year?
Yes, they did.
So, I mean, in talking about catching fire, I'm not saying that the Predators should fire John Hines today if they lose to St. Louis, but could that be the reason why Edmonton caught fire?
It could have been. I think you could go through history where coaches got fired and a team turned around. You could look at plenty of history, and let's go with one right in our backyard, Barry Trotz. He was on the hot seat a bunch during Washington's championship season of 2018. They stuck with Barry Trotz, and they turned it around, and they won the whole thing. They could not, for their lives, get past the Pittsburgh Penguins. And so there were a lot of people howling for Barry Trotz's job. And sure enough, they beat Pittsburgh. They went on and won the whole thing. So it doesn't always have to be changing the head coach. Certainly that happens, and I think coaches feel pressure. There's no doubt about it. Vancouver's about to change their coach. Coaches get fired during the regular season. So I don't know what the future holds there, but I think John Hines has done, since he's been there, a very, very good job overall. I don't think this is an underachieving team until this year in the first 20-25 games. That's where I thought they dug themselves a little bit of a hole that they're trying to dig out of right now. But I think the formula right now is much, much better than it was. I think the feeling in the locker room is much, much better than it was. And it has been probably for the last month and a half. Since that low point where they went 0-4-2, McDonough was hurt, Carrier was hurt, Jeremy Lauzon was hurt. They were playing without three of their best defensemen. That's where I think they started to figure out a little bit better about what their formula needs to be each night. And since then, they're 9-4-2. They've gotten some quality wins, a lot of them on the road. So I think they like their formula a lot better now than they did in the first quarter of the season. So I don't think it's an issue of a disconnect between the coach and the players right now.
So what you're saying, Willie, is now you think now that those guys have come back, obviously UC has whatever hiccups he was having at the beginning of the season, those are gone. They are closer to the team that we will see moving forward than not.
Closer. Yeah. What has to happen next, I think, is they got to need a little more consistently in scoring, and it's got to come from Matt Duchene. It's got to come. Now, Forsberg has had a hot streak here. He's been playing much better, right, in this. If they could get Forsberg and Duchene. Here's another thing that happened, guys. For a while, for whatever reason, Forsberg and Duchene were not clicking together. They split them up for a while. Now, if you notice, they've put Cody Glass on the line with those two. They put them back together. And that's worked pretty well the last couple of games. Cody Glass had a nice goal the other night. Duchene and Forsberg have, I think, reignited a little bit of their chemistry. You know, Duchene he's gotten a point here, a point there, but he hasn't really had the hot stretch at any point this year that he had last year. And I keep saying the same thing. I don't think anybody's expecting him to score 43 goals, right? That was a career year. But they need a lot more than they've gotten from him this year. He's capable of a lot more. And if there's a hot streak where he can go on a 10 or 15 game binge where he starts scoring, that would make all kinds of difference in the results. And I think Forsberg is a little bit more on pace to where you should expect Philip Forsberg to be, but he obviously has to keep it going here in the last 38 games.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get back into your phones. But coming up next, there have just been some glowing and raving reviews as far as the Titans are concerned. But how are the Titans going to approach the inevitable? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Let me just say this. Let me go on the record, okay? I won a few games here, and I don't know what that is, but they say I'm the winningest coach in franchise history. That record is going to fall with this relationship between the two of them. Mm. That's how strongly I feel about Mike, the organization, where it's headed, and this hire.
That was Jeff Fisher on the show yesterday. And look, I don't think anybody knows more about this the Rand Carthon Titans marriage, top to bottom, all the way around. Nobody knows more than Jeff Fisher does. Jeff Fisher worked with Rand Carthon in their stint with the Rams. Rand Carthon was the director of pro personnel in St. Louis and also in LA. And then, of course, Jeff Fisher. I keep wanting to say Mike Fisher. Jeff Fisher was the former head.
Well, we were just talking Preds, so I think that's okay.
Mike Fisher, Mike Vrabel, Predators, Jeff Fisher, all these names in my head. But before we get into this Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel power balance, Be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets to see local comedian Nate Bargatze as he goes from Old Hickory to Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 15th.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. Of course, Jeff Fisher has some ties to St. Louis, as he was talking about. That was a tremendous interview. If you didn't hear it, I think if you want insight on Rand Carthen, that would be great to go back and check out our podcast of that. We really enjoyed that conversation. But I do have a little St. Louis trivia for you today for the Bargatze tickets. We have some sponsors on this trip with us, and two of them last night were telling me that they were in St. Louis. They're big Cardinals fans, so I'll see if Caroline remembers this one. The 2011 World Series Game 6. These two fans were at that game. It's one of the most famous World Series games of all time. Cardinals were down to their last strike. One more strike, they lose the World Series to the Texas Rangers. Instead, this player got a game-tying hit to keep them alive and send the game to extra innings, and then came up again in extra innings and hit a game-winning home run. We were reliving that night last night, so I thought that would be a good trivia question tonight. But can you name this player for the St. Louis Cardinals that was the hero of Game 6 of the 2011 World Series? I'm looking out about a mile from Busch Stadium right now. 615-737-1025. And if you need a hint, and you probably don't if you're a baseball fan, but his last name is the same name as one of Batman's top villains.
I remember that day well. I remember it well.
You didn't need the hint, did you,
Caroline? City of St. Louis. I didn't need a hint, but that's okay. You know, grew up a diehard Cardinals fan. But again, the first person to answer that question correctly, you have to call. You cannot text. You will win a pair of tickets to see local comedian Nate Bargatze as he goes from Old Hickory to Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, April 15th. Good luck with that. But let's get into it, because Rand Carthon's introductory press conference is tomorrow at noon, so we will run that press conference live. And I know so many of the questions that are going to be asked. I'm sure Mike Vrabel will be there. I'm sure President Burke Nihil will be there, and obviously Rand Carthen. What the questions that are going to be asked is about the balance of power and about the cohesion between he and Mike Vrabel. And Jeff Fisher, again, I don't think anybody knows more about this entire situation top to bottom than Jeff Fisher does. This was Jeff Fisher on the show yesterday on the relationship, about what he thinks the relationship will be between Vrabel and Rand Carthen.
It's not going to be, okay, I'm taking this. I want this guy. You want that guy. I have final say, so I'm getting this guy. And you got to buy into it and stand up there on national TV, and we have to have everybody clap because we like our pick. No, this is legit. This is going to be a legit relationship between the two of them. Now, I don't know what went on behind the scenes as far as the hiring process, but I would have to say that I've not worked with Mike. I've watched Mike from afar, and I have nothing but respect for what Mike has done to this point and what he's going to do in the future. I have worked with Rand, and I don't see any reason why this thing doesn't flourish.
Doesn't see any reason why this relationship doesn't flourish. I mean, I said this earlier. I could tell that Mike Fisher was just grinning ear to ear. He was so happy talking about Rand Carthen and his new opportunity with the Titans. But it wasn't just Jeff Fisher, who I think is more plugged into the situation than anyone. It's also Charles Robinson, also very plugged into the league. He was on Robbie and Rex Road this morning and was talking about the relationship between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthen. And it was very interesting insight from Charles Robinson this morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounded like it.
Cutting-edge stuff, Willie.
That sounds cutting-edge.
Yeah, very
Charles cutting-edge. Robinson, I
it's
think
okay.
Is,
we don't need the cut. But essentially, Charles Robinson saying, hey, I mean, I think that this is going to be a great relationship. I don't expect to see much friction between the two. And I'm sure that's exactly what Amy Adams Strunk wanted. That's what she envisioned for this dynamic between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthen, especially considering both of them will be reporting straight to Amy Adams Strunk. It looks like it's going to be more of a partnership rather than it's going to be Mike Vrabel directly reporting to Rand Carthen. But I have a couple questions on two different sides of things. Of one, who is going to ultimately have final say? Most likely Amy Adams Strunk. But the other question is, who's going to have final blame beyond final say? because I know that Amy Adams Strunk is going to have a vision for what she wants this team to look like moving forward. And if the Titans don't get there, and Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon are making decisions hand in hand, and those decisions don't turn out to be the right one, and Amy Adams Strunk says it's time to make a change. She made a change with John Robinson. She pointed her finger to John Robinson saying, you haven't done your job good enough. So when it comes time where the Titans may fall short of expectations, as they did this season, who's the finger being pointed to? And I don't know the answer to that question. But I think that's something that Amy Adams Strunk is going to have to evaluate moving forward if it is a true collaboration. If it truly is Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel working together, is it equal blame just as much as it is, you know, equal celebration?
Well, you know, you guys, as you know, I'm not as into the blame game. I do think it's a collective, and I do think that only the future will tell. You know, why is it going wrong? We don't know. Like, will it be because they string together a couple more poor drafts? Does it look like they have turned the team around some personnel-wise, and they're just not living up to expectations on the field? Are there injuries again like there were this year to factor in? I think you just have to hope that down the road, that once they get on the same page and they start building, that they can make some solid decisions here. And I think it all starts with quarterback and look at the roster. Are we running it back? Are we going to try to build a winning team next year? Or are we kind of, you know, treading water, transitioning a little bit, playing both sides a little bit to try to, yeah, we want to stay competitive, but we would like to turn the roster over some and build a better young nucleus. I think those are all the philosophical conversations that they have to have, and then put the plan in forward and hopefully be on the same page when they execute that plan.
Ultimately, it's going to be how does the bottom half of this roster look moving forward? If you can elevate the bottom half of this roster, and I think that's one reason why she brought Rand in, then she will be okay. But it has to equate to wins.
That's going to do it for us today. The Predator is in action on the road at St. Louis tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We'll have your pre and post and call on 102.5 The Game tonight. Rand Carthon, new Titans general manager, his introductory press conference tomorrow live at noon on 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company's up next.
Peace.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.